Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? We start our second hour, coming off a really good first hour. It feels good. Very happy to be with you on this Wednesday. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. I'm in our studios. So we are doing our simulcast on CBS Sports Network. We are on CBS Sports Radio. We're doing all the things we normally do. Nice to have you here. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Last hour, we had 49ers D lineman Eric Armstead. Next hour, we have Patriots DB Justin Bethel. And right now, as promised, we are joined by a former receiver from Alabama. He is a national champion, third most receiving TDs in Alabama history. He averaged 17.5 yards per reception for his career. 40 receptions, 746 yards, 7 TDs as a junior in 2019. He was the fastest man at the 2020 NFL Combine, and the NFL Draft is scheduled to get underway April 23rd. Henry Ruggs III is my guest. Henry, it's so good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, there are a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but let me start with the most obvious. I mentioned off the top that you were the fastest man at this year's Combine. So you don't just have speed. You have crazy speed. You talked about how back in the day your dad used to encourage you to run a lot. So when did you first realize that not only am I fast, I'm actually one of the fastest people in this country?
I probably got that feeling in high school when I started to run track. I only ran my senior year, and I almost never went to practice. I always was in the gym playing basketball, and you know, whenever I came out to the track meet, I was winning the first place with no practice. So at that point, I kind of had the confidence that I just knew I was faster than everybody.
You're right. Henry Ruggs III joining us. That would be a good indicator, I should say. So you run a 4.27.40 at the Combine, but you were not especially pleased necessarily with that number. What's the number that you had in your head that you could hit if you execute a perfect 40 and everything goes the way you want it to go?
Honestly, I wanted to keep it at the 4.25 that I was hand time in the spring. I wanted to stay at that number or lower.
Right, so you've said that when you run in training, you don't really look at the clock. You don't need to because you can feel what a good run feels like. So what does a good run feel like? Explain that to me. How do you know if you hit your number without looking at the clock?
A lot of times, I mean, it just feels good. If I come out and get a good start, a pretty good start, and it feels smooth, you know, once I get to the top end, that's pretty much what I like to do. So I feel like, you know, if I get my first 10 yards down and I get a smooth start, then it feels good. And that's when I can tell I have a good time.
Okay, we're talking to Henry Ruggs III. When you announced that you were leaving Alabama, you had a piece in the Players Tribune, and it starts out talking about your best friend, Rod Scott, who passed away as the result of injuries from a car accident. What was Rod mm-hmm. like as a person and a friend, and what did he mean to you?
He was always a happy person. He was one that was very confident in himself and his abilities, and he would let you know that. So he was a true competitor too. So he always had me in the gym, had us working out, you know, 4 or 5 times a day, waking up early, coming back late at night, doing all kinds of things, just developing that confidence that he had to make sure that everybody knew, you know, who he was and what he was about.
Yeah, that's a good answer because that leads me to the next thing. There's this amazing story that when you were in high school, you were a self-described 5'9" basketball player who was set on not playing football, but Rod started calling you five-star. He was calling you five-star to convince you to play football. Why was he so clear that you were going to be an elite football player, and what did it mean to you to hear that?
Well, I mean, I kind of didn't really have the confidence because I was a smaller guy, and he saw the things that I did when I was a younger kid in the little city league around Alabama. And, you know, in middle school, I did play a year. So he saw those things and just knew that I could compete on the high school level. But I didn't really have the confidence because I was a smaller guy. And he just, you know, once the idea came about, he started calling me five-star and telling me that I can go out there and do the things that I've done before and compete with those guys. And once I kind of heard that he had that confidence in me, it kind of just fueled me to go out and try it.
You know what I wonder, though? Like, how did he know? Like, what did he see? For instance, just so we're really clear about this, you were a really, really good basketball player. Some of your highlights have gone viral in the last few months, and they're crazy. Like, how did Rod know? How did he have that knack? What did he see? Like, how would he know something like that?
That's a question that I still try to ask of myself to this day. Like, I don't, like, if I was to see him again and was able to ask him something, that would be the question, like, what did he see? Because I honestly have no idea.
It's an amazing thing. Henry Ruggs III joining us. Now, you wrote that when you moved from Montgomery to Tuscaloosa, you weren't sure how it was going to go for you. You kind of kept to yourself, but people there found out about Rod and what he meant to you. Then they reached out to you, and they supported you. So how special was that feeling?
It was very special. I mean, like I said, I was to myself, didn't really get around, didn't really get out, wasn't really a social person. And, you know, once they found out, they just kind of, you know, came on to me and knew that relationships were important to me. And, you know, my teammates and the faculty and staff around the program kind of just presented themselves as family so I could trust them. And, you know, that made me more comfortable and more confident as a player and a person.
Talking to Henry Ruggs III, and then speaking of family, you said that when you were wrestling with that decision of whether or not to enter the draft, one of the things that you kept thinking about was returning for your senior season was the fact that your brother was going to be there and you had the potential of playing with him. He told you, though, it was time for you to go and take advantage of the opportunity. What did it mean to you to hear that from him?
Well, I mean, that was pretty much the deciding factor because, I mean, I'm a family guy. And I'll do anything for my family, especially my brothers. They are the number one, you know, number one in my life. And once he told me that, I just, it was a no-brainer. I knew I was going to take the opportunity, and I knew that he was ready to man up and do the things that he had to do for his career.
We're talking to Henry Ruggs III. How about that receiver room there? You were part of a loaded receivers room that included multiple future first-round picks. It would be really easy for guys to get caught up, maybe even complain that they weren't getting enough targets, but it never seemed like that happened for you guys. How would you describe the vibe and the attitude in that receiver room?
It was competitive. It was fun. It was always fun. It's definitely a brotherhood. You know, we call it ride-outs, and that's the one thing we pride ourselves on is doing everything together and as a group. So if one makes the play, we all make the play. It's not just Judy's stats or just Devontae's stats. It's everybody's stats. It's as a group.
So at the same time, though, when you've got that much talent in the receiving core, when you do get the ball in the game, do you have any kind of sense or any kind of feeling like, man, I better score here because I might not get another look for a while?
Yeah, that's the mindset and the mentality that we had. You know, you have to take advantage of each and every opportunity because not only do we have a loaded receiver room, but we had a loaded offense, you know, a quarterback that can take off at any time. You see Najee making plays out the backfield in the passing game. So, you know, when you do get the opportunity, you gotta do what you have to do to, you know, get that touchdown.
And then you've got the GOAT at head coach. What was it like to play for Nick Saban?
It's fun. I mean, he never lets anyone shy away from greatness. You know, if you're not on top of everything that's on the field and off the field, he's definitely going to let you know. And that's one thing that I can say that makes not only the program better, but the people around it better.
Henry Ruggs III is my guest for a few more moments. You know, a lot of people are going to be focused on your speed, but there is so much more to your game. When teams are looking at your film, what do you want them to see?
I want them to see a guy that's relentless, you know, that's never going to shy away from anything. You know, I'm not shying away from bigger guys. I'm not shying away from contested catches over the middle. You know, I'm a guy that's willing to do any and everything for the team.
All right, so when you look at NFL players right now, who do you think are the most similar to your game? Are there any guys that you watch right now that you model yourself after?
I won't say I model myself after one guy, but I kind of watch a lot of guys. I like to watch DeAndre Hopkins, of course, Tyreek Hill because he's a speed guy, and Jarvis Landry. Those are guys that I, you know, kind of watch a lot.
All right, so when you consider all the work you've put in, when you consider you went from being a basketball player to a football player, what do you think it's going to feel like when you hear your name called in the draft?
It's going to be a crazy feeling, but honestly, it's the start of something else, so I have to, you know, just like going from high school to college, you have to make a name for yourself. And just like going from college to the league, it's time to, you know, let everybody know who I am and what I can do.
It's the right mindset. He's a former receiver from Alabama, a national champion, the fastest man at the 2020 NFL Combine, and that NFL draft is getting underway April 23rd. Henry Ruggs III, our guest. Henry, really well done. Great to have you on the show. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you, Henry. Well done. Henry Ruggs III. All right, so you've got two of the three interviews. And we're off to a great start. We had Eric Armstead. We had Henry Ruggs III. Justin Bethel coming up next hour. It's a good day. Matt Money Smith after the program for the Jim Rome podcast. All right, so let me take a moment. Since we're not having another interview until 40 past hour number three, now is the best chance to get through. Let me open it up to you. 1-800-636-8686. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Because you're at home, maybe you've never had the chance to call, or maybe you never wanted to call. Maybe it's time now to call. Go ahead. Take advantage of it. Anything you want to talk about. We have a new normal right now. The world has changed. So come at it any way you want. Jacob in NorCal on Twitter. I live my life a quarter at a time. Signed, IRA.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Yeah, Jacob, I said a quarter mile. Dear Jim, today is my 55th birthday. So corral the XR4TI and come by for a bit. You don't have to stay for long. And I understand if you can't or make it. The party will be outside if it's not raining. Just knock on the gate and trot on in. Admission is a mare. $5. If you can pony it up, my wild celebrity friends, we will be there. Will doesn't count. Will be there, but they won't stir up any dust. Equine Lee, yours. Sarah in Hollywood. Were you introducing me to that stud, Alvin?
It doesn't make any sense. It's happening.
Signed, Denlesks. Unstable. Boy. Happy birthday, dope. Denlesks. Nobody like him. He really is one of one. Let's see what else we have here. Dear Mr. Rome, this whole stay-at-home order really sucks. I can't wait for it to be over so Logan can come over and spend the night. I really miss toking. Joking with him. Signed, Connor. Casey in New Hampshire. Were all the celebrities staying at home, getting fat, then emerging from their dens just in time for beach season? I can't wait. That's good. Because that's so true. You are. You clones who freak out anytime a celebrity or an athlete gains even 2 pounds are all about that. Man, they're indoors. They're not getting their workouts in. Comfort food. They're boozing up. Here in California and Hollywood, they're ordering booze. Then you have idiots like that just waiting for them to come outside again, waiting for them to emerge, waiting for the first pictures. He mentioned my son, Logan. Logan's our younger son.
Logan,
and him toking, joking with Connor. He's not doing that. He is sleeping a lot. All those things that I used to come down on him for, like PS4, Fortnite, sleeping, they just don't bother me as much anymore. Especially the sleeping, because if the kid is sleeping, then he's not playing Fortnite, which is a win. And if he's sleeping, that's probably kind of healthy. Maybe he's growing. Maybe he's building up his immune system. I know he's not playing Fortnite. His eyes aren't getting strained. He's not toking. He can't do any of these things when he's asleep. So suddenly now I don't have a problem with the kid sleeping. Now I no longer have a problem with that kid taking 4-hour naps. Yeah, come home, I'm like, son. I'm a middle-aged dude. If I added up the length of every nap I've had in my whole life, it still would not equal the length of your nap today. The hell are you so tired for? You had one class online today that you were late for. Why are you sleeping for 4 hours?
Rogan?
Yeah, my bad. How about you guys? Everything's my bad. Yeah, I know it's your bad. It's not my bad. Why do you keep doing it? My bad. Hey, Dad, are we going to have a drink? Wait, you mean a drink? No, you're still 16. Okay, anyway, I'm going to go back to sleep. Is that cool? Yeah, that's great, son. Go back to sleep. Hey, Rome, can you please have Hawk provide an update on what sugary items he found in Ritz keyboard and drawers? We don't want the stoner to gain 5 pounds in a day. Jim in Chicago. Yeah, I don't know, Rit. I mean, I might not be the cleanest eating guy in the world. I just don't think that that diet exclusively of sugar is building your immune system. The other day I walk in. My favorite thing to do is to come to work. He beats me in most days. Not every single day, but most days. My favorite thing is to come to work and look at his desk and see what's for breakfast. My man had a brick of Rice Krispie treats for breakfast.
It's lit!
I mean, that was like Halloween for an entire family. Rice Krispies. He's trying to defend it. It's a cereal. Not in brick form, it's not. Not when it's glued together with marshmallow and sugar, it's not. It's cereal. It's cereal, man. Like Grape Nuts. Like Puff Wheat. Like Wheaties. Bro, it's a brick of sugar. It's a square, it's a gigantic, rectangular sugar bar. You're eating straight sugar, brah. You're eating straight sugar.
Eat it, Hud.
It's lit!
It's Rit! He's mainlining sugar! Hey, dude, how are you taking on the virus? By eating lots of sugar. Hey, when I said to you, bro, that it's time to eat different color foods. You know, I'm talking about like carrots, green peppers, radishes. I'm not talking the yellow Rice Krispie treat, the green Skittle, the brown Snicker bar. I mean, time and place for all those things, Rit. Not breakfast. Breakfast is neither the time or place for those things. Still ahead, looking for your telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Hawk, why are you dropping an ATP on me at 10:19? Wow, bro. All right, so we're open right now. Hit me up. You got your telephone number. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. So what do we want? This is for you, Rit. What do we want when we're craving protein, when we need more energy? We don't want sugary snacks, old man. We don't want an energy drink. We don't want a bar. We want beef, pure and simple. Where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. It's tender, it's tasty, it's not tough. So what makes it so good? Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four amazing flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We know you want to see college basketball this time of year, so do what I did yesterday. Tune in to CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long for NCAA Tournament Rewind. Relive some of the best moments from March Madness. I was definitely doing that last night. And you should do the same. 1-800-636-8686. Man, pick up the phone. Use it. I want to take a moment and I want to say this. if you're paying any sort of attention, and I know you are, to the COVID-19 outbreak in the U.S., I think you know that the state of New York has become the epicenter for the virus. And it's really frightening, and it's really scary everywhere. Everywhere, and especially there. The entire country continues to battle the virus, of course, but things are especially challenging in New York, and the folks there know that it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, and they are currently bracing themselves for the worst. Now, this show that you're watching right now, or this show that you're listening to right now, does not run without New York. The companies and the brands and the people that syndicate, sell, market, and promote this show are largely in New York. We are spread out. Me and the XR4TI are in Southern California. You know this. And we have people in Chicago. But the majority of those that are responsible for getting us on the air and packaging this program and marketing this program and clearing this program and selling this program are, in fact, in New York. And then you've got the other work that I do. This example, the NFL on CBS, where I make several appearances a season. One of my favorite things about those appearances is they'd let me do it in New York. The show itself, of course, is in New York. I've done remote broadcasts from our New York City intercom studios. When I went into the Hall of Fame at the end of last year, it was right there in Midtown Manhattan. So I love New York. I consider New York a home away from home. I pride myself on how much time I'm able to spend in New York. I even wish I spent more time there. And I go there nearly 10 times a year now. I have dozens and dozens of colleagues who live there year-round, and they're there right now. So I want to express my deepest gratitude to everybody out there working as hard as they are to fight the virus, to save lives, who are putting themselves out there. I want to make sure that I mention our intercom team and our CBS Sports Network team. Both these crews are responsible for getting us on the air, on radio and on TV both. Both of them have gone to great, great lengths to make that happen. My thanks to my man, my guy, Tom DeCelestino, for being a warrior and busting his ass to get this radio program on. Appreciate you, my guy, very, very much. I know how hard you're working behind the scenes. I know that without you, we're not on the air right now. I want to thank James Boccioni for backing Tom up when we need it. On the TV side, my thanks to Sharon and Jake and Sam and Nate and Dave and to the rest of the crew for pulling off this simulcast despite extremely difficult circumstances. Like, the simulcast you're watching right now is going on despite the fact that none of them are in the same building right now. We're all spread out. They're all spread out. So everybody is trying to deal with this. It is hit hard everywhere, but especially in New York. New York has been hit really hard, and yet all my family there, all my friends there, are still working extremely hard. So I want to send out my thanks, and I want to express my deep, deep gratitude for all of the efforts, for keeping us on the air, because I think a lot of people listening need to hear this and want to hear this and want that normalcy, and there's no way we do this without what's being done in New York. So nothing but love, nothing but respect, and nothing but the best possible wishes for the health and prosperity and all the things I can send your way. Thank you very much, y'all. Love and respect. And it's great to be here. All right, so we take a short time out. When we come back, I've got one phone line open. Not phone lines, but one phone line. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk about the fact that people are still getting their work in. It's not easy, but they're getting their work in at home. Both work and workouts. I want to talk about a guy who's getting it done on the balcony. Also, NBA Twitter is alive and well. Joel is still the best thing about Twitter. I've got that update for you. Justin Bethel, top of the hour, and your phone calls are straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So far, so good. Hey, we are determined to continue to give you the best show we can every single day. Create the best content we can every single day. Get you the best interviews we can every single day. Eric Armstead, 49ers D lineman, joined us in hour one. We had Henry Ruggs on this hour. Be sure you're checking me out on Twitter. CBS Sports Network is already pushing out some of the video clips in case you missed that. Justin Bethel is coming up next hour. And our phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Listen, here's the thing. I can't keep pushing the phone line and saying call the program if you haven't before and then not take your telephone calls. Except if your phone calls suck, then I'm not really doing my job if I'm taking those phone calls. So I got to meet you halfway. I got to get somebody up in here. Let's go to Indy. Graham in Indy. Graham, what's going on? How are you?
Pretty good, Rome. Hey, it's an honor to be on your show. I'm a first-time caller. I've listened to you for 20-plus years, former football player at Ball State University, and I've got two sons of my own, and I just want to say you're a true inspiration for me every day. Help me get through my problems with all this stuff going on right now. I truly appreciate your show.
I appreciate that.
What I want to break down is the fact that Phillip Rivers is coming to my hometown of Indiana. And, you know, the thing of it is with Rivers, he's never really done anything. First of all, he's an accomplished quarterback, but the fact of it is we don't want him here. I honestly think that he's going to tie Brady in the league with sacks. And that's honestly the only thing I think. He's a sack machine. He's a crybaby. Bottom line is we should have kept Andrew Luck, and you have to really blame it on what's really going at the top, a la Jerry, which you talk about all the time. But my thing is we need to put it on J.E., not mentioning any names, but having to be the owner of the Colts. Cut Peyton Manning. We all cried when he left. Obviously, he had great success with the Denver Broncos, but we're all kind of hung up on that. And the fact is, I would love to have Brady. He's perhaps arguably the greatest of all time. To me, I don't really think so. But the fact is, we push people out because of Peyton, because we got so blessed, you know, with Peyton, so to speak, and his accomplishments. He's a great quarterback. But at the same time,
all right, Graham. Let me jump in. I appreciate you very much. I just want to respond to some of this because, my man, you are settling in. You are settling in, and if I don't jump in right there, I'm going to lose control of this show. And you were saying some pretty unbelievable things. Respectfully, I really appreciate what you said about me. Thank you. I really appreciate what you said about the show. Thank you. But once we got the pleasantries out of the way, things started to get a little sidetracked. All right. In terms of Phillip Rivers being a crybaby who has never done anything, Phillip Rivers might be a Hall of Famer. There's a conversation there. Phillip Rivers certainly has accomplished a lot of things in the NFL.
Unbelievable.
Phillip Rivers is not a crybaby. Phillip Rivers, early in his career, was pretty demonstrative. Still is. Still is. Talked a lot of junk. Still does.
Awkward crime!
And talks a lot of junk without cursing. But when you say that Phillip Rivers has never done anything, he's thrown for 60,000 yards. He's done that.
That's horse mess.
Phillip Rivers is probably, whether you like it or not, or agree with it or not, is going to end up with that mustard jacket. So that would constitute doing something. My man, you are all over the place. I know this is a very troubling time, and these are very turbulent times. I understand that. So I'm going to cut you a little bit of slack. You know, that take about Manning and Luck. Of course they took Luck over Manning. That was the right decision. Nobody disputes that for a second. And what do you mean the getting rid of Luck? We should have gotten rid of Luck. You didn't get rid of Luck. He retired. Let's make a distinction between that. And the other thing about, yeah, well, you know, we didn't want Philip Rivers. We wanted Brady. Well, the problem is Brady didn't want you. And what you're getting in Philip Rivers is, yes, a guy who is 38. And yes, there may be some slippage. And yes, he may get sacked. And why is that? Because he holds on to the ball. And why is that? Because he's willing to take a shot, to take a big shot downfield and see a play develop. You know, willing to make a play, willing to stand in a little longer, so he can make a 90-yard play.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
Hey, Sam, too. You see, I ain't talking. Right. Stay humble, bro.
You know he's right.
Stay humble, cuz.
I can be excited.
Yeah, but don't do that by my ear. Don't do it by my ear.
I will do it by my ear. I will do it by my ear.
No.
Hey,
that's what I do.
17.
I mean,
I hollered at you after the game. 17, just keep talking.
You don't want that guy on your team. You tell me you did not question his toughness. I know that was not a part of that call. You did not question Philip Rivers' toughness. You called him a crybaby. My man made 224 consecutive starts. Second most all time. I mean, I got to say, the one call to this show, historically, that is a standalone call is Cal Ripken. I'm not saying you just ran him down. I'm saying you're knocking at the door, brother. You're at that brother. Same door where the Cal Ripken caller lives. He's a Hall of Famer. What are you talking about? Man, that was a mess. My man was all over the map, all over the show. And much of what you just said was asinine. I mean, really absurd. Luck v. Manning? Oh, yeah, man, all Manning did was go off and win a Super Bowl. Plural.
Omaha!
Yeah, what do you have to do with it? He noodle-armed his way to it. Come on, man. How can you live there and be a longtime fan of that team and believe any of what you just said? 1-800-636-8686. Wow. Open phone, Joe. Anybody else? Okay, it's amazing to me how little respect Philip Rivers gets in some circles. Man, this dude is a pro. Let's go to Melbourne, Florida. Maybe the lady clones can get us right back on track. Deb in Melbourne. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Calm you down, at least, after that last phone call. But my call is to say that every Sunday I live to watch football. And when I get up in the morning, I vacillate about which show I'm going to put on. Am I going to put on Fox? Am I going to put on NFL? Am I going to put on CBS? And I listen to you all week. And when you announce that you were going to be in New York on that Sunday, there is no doubt that I am going to turn it on to watch you, because you are the life of the party there. You should be there every single Sunday, as far as I'm concerned, and they should get rid of some of the other people that just don't know how to smile. So I just wanted to tell you that you make me smile, and when it comes to Sunday, I look forward to seeing you.
Deb, that is so nice. Thank you so much, Deb. What a nice thing to say. I appreciate you very much. That might be the best call. We just went from the worst call ever to the best call ever.
War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones, Deb. My reaction to that is this. I would go every Sunday if they had me. I'm really grateful for the Sundays they do have me. I get seven or eight a year, and happy for those. And I'm not going to be a pig, and I'm not going to be greedy. But if somebody ever said to me, I'll just say it. I'll just float it out there. If somebody were to say to me, hey, you know what? You can come every Sunday. I would. That's how much I enjoy doing that and how worth it would be to me. But I take the eight that I get gladly. And in terms of they should move some of the other ones out of there, no, they should not. Every single person on that show, the NFL on CBS, does an amazing job. Every single person, in my opinion. And I've done a lot of these shows, and I've worked for all of these networks, and I've worked with every type, every kind. And I'm not saying that because this is where I am right now. I would say this. If I were to leave or they were to show me the door, I would say the exact same thing then that I'm saying right now. They are the ultimate professionals on that show, every last one of them. And when I'm talking about every last one of them, I mean on-air talent. I mean behind-the-scenes people. I mean people on the floor, people that you never even see. It is the most professionally run operation that I've ever seen in my life, with the best people. CBS is unlike any company I've ever worked for, and I've worked for pretty much all the monsters, all the big broadcast concerns. And by different, I mean better. They care more. They just do. I know this. So, no, I would not move anybody off any spot. I wouldn't even know where to start, man. I love everybody on that show. My man, Boomer Esiason. Boomer Esiason is one of the all-time killers. This guy works so hard. He is so good at what he does. And can do so many things so well. Phil Simms is the best. He's the life of the party. I love Phil Simms. And I'll make this point clear, too. I don't want to give any of these guys up. But when you're a radio honk like me, and you roll into their house, they don't have to be happy to see me. They don't need to necessarily play along. Because I've done this before, right? I know when people are not happy to see me. It's not that hard to read that room. I never have once gotten that vibe. Everybody is welcoming. Everybody is happy to see me. Everybody thinks that I have something to bring to it. This is why I love going there, because I have so much respect and so much admiration for everybody on that show. The people in front of the cameras, the people behind the cameras, the people behind the scenes. Drew Kalisky is unbelievable. As somebody who runs a show, top to bottom. Sean McManus, David Burson. It's a great place to work. JB. James Brown is the most dignified, classy gentleman I think I've ever met in the business. My man, JLC. Nate. I love all these guys. The coach, Bill Cowher. Are you kidding me? Bill Cowher, Boomer, and Phil have all done the Jim Rome podcast. And that tells you their commitment to us. Remember, when I started with CBS, Boomer came on this show once a week and did that for several years. Never forget, it was Boomer who came on and would shout out to Toby. Hell, Boomer would shout out to Toby on the NFL on CBS. Who will ever forget Boomer going with Christmas with the Cranks on the NFL on CBS? And I just looked at him like, are you kidding me about that? He's like, how you like that? I said, I love that, Boomer. I like that a lot. 1-800-636-8686. Deb, but thank you very much. I so appreciate what you said about my role on that program. I love doing that show. It's one of my favorite assignments ever. Let's go this time to Toronto. Jacob, good to have you. Jacob, how are you?
Hey, Rome. First time, long time. Thanks
great.
For taking
thank
my call.
Thank you.
Man.
Good to have you.
Hey, you know, I'm isolated with all this uncertainty going on, so I've been doing something today I haven't done in a long time. I jumped in my car and I put the Rome Show on the radio, and I'm just driving around like it used to be when I worked on the road. And it's really great to have that touchstone right now, because there's so much that we don't know, and it's really nice to have some familiarity in the afternoon. So thanks for staying with us. But I wanted to talk to that guy who called from Indiana. I don't know if the cabin fever is getting to him or what, but Rivers is a pickup, and he is not speaking for all Colts fans. I can tell you, the way that the Colts played, the way that we've seen them almost get there, the way that we saw Brissett not quite ready, and maybe he will be one day. I hope he is, but man, Rivers is the piece that they need. If we see football this year, I think you've got to look out for the Colts. That's all I got.
I appreciate it, Jacob. Thanks so much. That's a good phone call. Phillip Rivers. Look, you got this guy on a one-year deal. He's going to take his shot. He has great familiarity with the coaches. This is not a novel concept. We've been talking about this on the show. That's never been more important than it is right now. In this offseason, when you can't get teams together and you can't get people in the facility and quarterbacks can't get with their new wide receivers, all the more reason why Tom Brady does not get credit for asking for the phone numbers of his new wide receivers, which he would do anyway under the best of circumstances. But the fact that Phillip Rivers has a familiarity with that coaching staff and that coaching staff with Phillip Rivers is a really positive thing. And it's a one-year deal. And you're going to take your shot. If you have to bring somebody new in, there is no such thing as plug and go. but that would be the closest thing to it because he's a vet, because there's nothing he hasn't seen, and because he has a familiarity with that coaching staff and the way they do things. There's a reason why he's there. It's a great pickup. I love that deal for him and for them. I understand why the Chargers moved on, but I also understand why the Colts brought him in. So just because I let a caller go does not mean I was agreeing with what the caller was saying. The only thing I agreed with what that caller said was at the start of the call when he told me I was great. That part I agreed with. But everything thereafter, man, that train derailed. But I did ask for telephone calls. I can't ask you for a phone call and then bring you on and run you right away. Can I really? 1-800-636-8686.
We should have kept Andrew Luck.
We should have kept Andrew Luck. He retired. What do you mean you should have kept him? Like what, the Browns should have kept Jim Brown? We should have kept Andrew Luck. What does that mean? Like, you mean you shouldn't have cut him? You didn't. You mean you shouldn't have traded him? You didn't. What does that mean we should have kept Andrew Luck? Like, talked him out of retirement? I'm sure they tried. It wasn't worth it to him anymore. He was banged up. He was tired of being hurt. He was tired of being in that cycle of rehab. He was tired of being in pain and being uncomfortable. He decided there were other things that were better, things that he wanted to accomplish, things that he wanted to do. We should have kept Andrew Luck. We should have kept Johnny Unitas.
We should have kept Andrew Luck.
That's not a good take. Bro, where do you live? You live in the state of Indiana, and your take is we should have kept Andrew Luck. When we return, you know what? Let's just jump it into the next segment. Let's roll the telephone calls. Having fun with it. I'm going to play the hot hand. Call right now, 1-800-636-8686.
You're in a